This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Yes, thank you, everyone. It's really a privilege to be here this morning. It's family. I was a little bit of a new time visitor. Some of you are here for the first time, the family and friends are also coming here and see, okay, I know they're in a new venue, and you're like the first guy, the new guy, but it is great to come home. This is for me, his family. I joined Shofar in 1998. So I'm still here, and through the years, with all the things that happened, I just realized that's part of family. There's space for each one to be himself. There's space for people to make mistakes. But we love because we're family. And we love one another because God has put us together. So it's really a privilege to stand here this morning. It was a long process to get here. It was 6 months, actually, since Heinrich asked us to pray about coming to Century City. So, yeah, before I share more about that, I just sense just a thankfulness. Thank you for your prayers and your faithfulness and for each one of you building this church and building God's kingdom and bringing him glory. That's why everything that's here is here today. And actually, each one deserves a standing ovation. Each one of you deserve to stand wherever and people thank you and pray for you and acknowledge what you've done. Don't feel left out. Because God sees each one of us as we walk through his door. Each one of you is special, and it's a privilege to be here this morning. And for me to be part of it. I tell my kids that when I was at school, I would pray that God changed the answers what I wrote in the exam. And they said, Daddy, you can't say those things. I said, why not? It's an almighty God. He can maybe change the exam paper, and maybe when they mark, things just, the words, things just change. And you get your point. So, and often we will say these challenges in front of us, and then you say, yes, I know God, but. Yes, but this, yes, but that. So we also face challenges in our lives and a lot of things that we go through. And let's come to know God in a special way that he's not a respecter of person. There's no favorites. What he's done for me, what he's done for you, he will do it for everyone. He loves each one of us. And he's ready to perform. He's ready to show himself strong on behalf of anyone who's looking out for him. And the challenge today is still to say, but Lord, this is what you're saying, but what about this? And I hear this, but this. And I just want to stand here as someone that's part of the family. Say, we must help one another to run strong after God. We must help one another in those difficult times to say, yes, but this, but then just pray together and ask God again for what is the right thing to do. I was thinking of the baby dedications. There's this comedian, he said that before children, we just say, good night. And then when the children come, we say, good luck, at night. Change everything. It's also great to see how we're growing as family and the children that comes, and it adds a different dimension, adds different challenges. But just the amazing thing about God is he's God. It is his character. It's who he is. I remember for 3 years, we were in Clancy on the West Coast. Lee was working there as an engineer. And for a year, I was without work. And I was just praying and asking God to provide work for me. So I was a software developer before that. I'll share a little bit about it just now. But in that time, in the worship, I was asking God, God, just change something, open a door, do something. You can do it all. What is the next step? And I just sensed God in that moment. He just said to me, well, experience, this is the best place to be. in the presence of God. This is, and where else can I go? Where else can I go? What else is out there? I cannot go from the presence of God. That's the best place to be. It's right here in the presence of God. So before Heinrich contacted us to pray about moving to Somerset West, I was speaking to someone, and I obviously heard that Anton Christel is moving on and what God is doing in their lives. And I thought, I think someone must go to Somerset West to help Heinrich. And I think, and then I just left it there, and after a while I thought, yo, maybe it's going to be us. But I thought, no, I don't think so. And we just left it there, and it was the 4th of December last year, where Heinrich said to me, okay, you must pray about it. So it was very overwhelming, just because of where we stayed. I rent from my dad on the same as two homes on the property. So that's his pension money. And Lee's involved at the school. And the children, they love their school. They said, we can move anywhere in the world, just don't move the school. Then they are fine. And the church and everything. So I said, okay, it's a little bit overwhelming. We're just going to go on holiday, and I'll think about it in the new year. So, and that's where we started to pray and just spending time with God. And say, okay, Lord, this, I just need to hear from you. Because usually in my life, when I had to make big decisions before this, it just involved me or Lee. So, and that was it. And this time, it felt like everybody is involved. Everybody is part of it, you guys as well, everyone there, and the schools where we were, and yeah, my children, my parents, everyone is part of this. So it was a bit overwhelming. So I just spent time with God, and it was the 18th of January that Deuteronomy 1 just spoke to us and spoke to me, where God said to me in a New Living Translation, don't be afraid of anyone's anger, for the decision you make is God's decision. And I sense it's God moving us to Somerset West. It's not Heinrich, it's not the Shofar leadership. It's actually God's plan for my family to come here. And yeah, and then the whole journey starts. After that, the other scriptures that we just forgot, it was Moses, before they moved into the promised land, he spoke and he appointed judges. That's what the context of that scripture. So he appointed judges, and they actually said, God telling them that the decision you make is God's decision. So after that, the Israelites said to Moses, maybe we must send out spies into the land. And they came back and they said all the stuff that they've seen, and they were a bit afraid. And then there's this amazing thing that God told them. He said, But I said to you in verse 29, don't be shocked or afraid of them. The Lord your God is going ahead of you. He will fight for you just as you saw him do in Egypt. And you saw how the Lord your God cared for you all along the way as you traveled through the wilderness, just as a father cares for his child. Now he has brought you to this place. So that for me was just amazing. Because I know God. And I've experienced him in good times and in bad times, in tough times. I know about at night. I always say Sunday nights, when everybody's in bed and it's alone and you're sitting on your bed, you think about the week ahead. Sometimes you just cry. Sometimes you're just afraid. Sometimes all those emotions just come. It's just you in front of God. And then you can know that God is enough. He's a good God, and he's faithful. And when I read that, I realized, wow, God, I've got so many testimonies, so many miracles, so many things that you came in supernatural ways. And God is saying, in the same way, he goes before us, and he will go, and he will prepare the way. And that was the word that we held on to. So then we went to the leaders, and we said to guys, we need to pray. We need to trust God for this journey. How are we going to do this? So I don't know a lot about that kind of change management. So I bought a few books, read books. Say, Lord, help us, help me. God was, he's good. At the same time, I appointed a few leaders at Century City, so I just felt God telling me that we need other guys to come alongside me, a leadership group that can take the church forward. And all of these people, they were praying about their involvement in church and if they want to be part of this group. So at our next meeting, I came there and said, guys, you're still praying, but now it's with or without me. That was just before I got the scripture that we must go. So first I told them, it's with or without me. You must pray with me. So now we're all praying in a later meeting. We all witness that we must go. So that was special. We were all sad. We cried. And then it's a whole journey. So how are we going to do this? How are we going to help everyone to go through this process? When we started praying about that, the amazing thing God told us at that time is we had this picture of the Israel standing in front of the Red Sea, and Moses had it, or Joshua. There was this encounter with God, and he's saying, Are you with me or against me? That angel, you must go and read that. But the amazing thing is we felt God telling us, it's not about us, it's not about the church, it's not about all this change, it's about God. It's about His glory. And then the next thing, it was about what's going on in our hearts. So now we're writing down all these words and we're praying about it. And one morning, Lee and I, we're praying. And he said, okay, so we got these words. This is what we sense. How are we going to interpret these words? And I said, this one thing, what's in the heart? We must trust everyone. What's going on in your heart? And then I said, it actually starts with me. What's going on in my heart? So there was this one guy that I knew I must go and sort out something with him, but I wasn't focusing on that. I thought we're just going to do this whole thing here. And God said to me, it's about what's going on in your heart. So I had to go there and say, I'm sorry for my part in the breakdown of our relationship. And in that moment when I realized that, I just received forgiveness for him. What he has done to me, it wasn't necessary for him to say sorry anymore. So that was just part of this journey. So it was very emotional. Then coming back a week after week after week, having all these meetings, people say stuff, you talk back and you wrestle it out. So what is the next step? What is God going to do? And it was just special. It was so amazing to see how God worked in all of our hearts, then how He worked in the hearts of the church, how He prepared them. We had coffee with everyone. It's a small church. So I was able to drink coffee with everyone in over 2 weeks, telling them, this is what God has been doing. We're going to move on. And they were sad. We're all sad. But we all witness that this is now a new season. So, yeah, I've got many stories about God's goodness. And it's amazing. It all probably started when I was just praying about where I must study, Stellenbosch or at the Cape Tech. And one day a lady phoned my parents and they said, Yaku, there's accommodation in Stellenbosch for someone. You must just pay the water. It's 60 rand a month. So at that time, I was on my way to Dagbreek, and my dad said, Yaku, I think this is good. I said, yes, because we didn't have the money. So I didn't go to Dagbreek. I went there. It was a blessing. So then started studying engineering, then later changed up my course to computer science. And then I had this burning desire. Through that, I become part of Shofar Christian Church there during those years. I remember standing on Stellenbosch Mountain and say, Lord, rock my life. Because I won't say it now, but I was a bit... I was a bit frustrated. Some of you had heard some of this. But I was just very frustrated what I read in the Bible. I don't see it in my life. And so I did, and a week later, someone invited me to a a small group at Shofar. So I walked through that door that morning, that evening. Only three, the small group facilitator, me, and the guy bringing me. And Koenraad Beyers, he's there in Canada now. He looked at me and said, I'm Koenraad, and have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? And at that time, I was spending a lot of, this time reading Acts, reading about the Holy Spirit, reading about God, reading about all these things. And I just said, tell me everything you know. Tell me everything. So my life changed that evening. I walked out of there. I had a burning desire to be an intern at Shofar for a year to volunteer. But I didn't know how I'm going to do it. I had a student loan. So one day, walking into my room, there was just a note that says, just look in your Bible. So I opened my Bible, and there was a check for my student loan, just lying there. So I took it to APSA, and they said, man, you must invest this money. You must do stuff. I said, no. This is it. And that is how God has came, and He opened doors. He just did all these amazing things. And I've seen it not only for myself, also for other people. But it's amazing when we got married in 2002, 14th of December, just after Lee graduated as an engineer. We went to Clancy in the West Coast. I was working as a software developer at the time. So a lot of people said that, Jaco, you must continue to work as a developer. Lee can go there, she can be engineer, and then you have this long distance relationship. I said, no. I don't think that's going to work. I said, God opened it, because at the company that I was worked, it was just amazing how God opened a door for me there. And I said, this is the God I serve. He can open another door for me. So we're going to move to Clancy. It's a small town on the West Coast. And we will trust God for a door there. So I didn't know that Clancy was a closed community. The Beers owned the town, everything. I didn't know that there's three people in IT, and they've been there forever, and they're not going anywhere. So I didn't know all those things. So at night, when Lee, sometimes she works shifts at night, I was just walking the town, walking through the places, standing at some of the doors, and say, Lord, open a door for me. I want to work. But in the meantime, I was baking rusks and working the house, in the garden. I studied a bit, and I opened an outdoor shop, just selling gear, because I love the outdoors, and I thought, if I'm selling it, I can get it at cost price. So I sold gear. And there was this man, he's going on 4x4, he do a lot of 4x4 trips. One Saturday, he said to me, he wants a stove to make poikikos. So I said to him, I can sell you many stoves, you can have this KDAC stuff, or you can have this stove. It's the MSR Dragonfly. Anyway, it's multi-fuel. It burns like it's right here, like it's burning on Everest Mountain. It's just amazing. So it's a bit of an overkill for his poikikos. But he bought it. So it was expensive, man. Now it's over 2,000 rand for that little Dragonfly. But it burns everything. Petrol, diesel, paraffin, aircraft fuel, whatever. it's true. But any case, the Saturday I sold him the stove. The Monday I thought, this is now a year without work. I think I must fast. So I just sat there on the bed and I started to pray, and there's a knock on the door. And this is the same man standing in front of the door. Because when I sold him the stove, I just told him my story. I studied computer science. So that morning, he came to me and he said, Jaco, there's a guy that wrote a program in the engineering department, not in IT. And he broke his leg. And his computer crashed. And he lost his backup. You must come now. I said, hallelujah. It was a year later. Anyway, he recovered. But It was just, it was just amazing I experienced God opened a door for me. I was sitting with a laptop in the engineering department in the workshop. There's nothing there. And I just started there on a 3-month contract. When that 3 months was up, I said to them, I think you must extend it because I want to do more things. And they did. And then from there, it just continued for another year, and eventually I got into the IT department. And it was after 3 years that I said to Lee, we really want to come back to Shofar, and I've got this desire to work at the church. And at the time, we were praying, and we sensed that's what we're going to do, so we resigned. And I also got my letter that there is a possibility we can come at Shofar Tigerberg. It was 2006. And I looked at my letter and I looked at the salary and I thought, is this now before or after tax? And because it was about our savings every month. And okay, but the beers look after their people, I must say. And they said, no, it's before tax. And I thought, yo, it's going to be a big step, but this is what we must do. Amazing, I fixed the guy's computer just before we left that night, and he asked me, Aku, where are you going? I said, no, to Brackenfell. He said, I just bought a house there, I'm building a house, and you guys can just go and stay there. Because we need someone to be there in that house. We moved there. I came in the office at Shofar Tigerberg. The pastor that was there at the time, Pastor William, he said, Yaku, is this your salary? No, man, we're giving you an increase today. And Pastor Andre walks in there. I said, where do you stay? He said, no, there in Brackenfell. I said, man, I stayed 200 meters down the road. So he said, I can drive with you to work. And that's just a journey how God has started to do things. So a year later at an altar call, I sense God telling me a lot of stuff. And I said, Lord, I've got this conviction. My auto shop that's running as an online store, I'm going to open a shop. So then I resigned from the chauffeur, just the full-time being in the office. And it was a tough decision to make. But again, it's not many people involved. It's me and Lee. And we were in unity. And I feel this is God speaking to me. So we opened a shop. Clint will also remember those days, it's cowboy days. So I just opened a shop it was a house with business rights. So I said, I just need a room. They gave me a room, I hang all the outdoor gear, and I just pushed all sales through my laptop online, and we started doing it. So after a while, my partner, he said, Yakuna, he doesn't think this is going to go anywhere, he's going to pull out. So he put in money, and he said, he just wants his money back. I said, man, I can't give you any money. But he said, no, it's fine. We'll wait. So at a time, Gustav was born and we were there. That was one of those nights. I'm just sitting there at night and said, Lord, what have I done? I really felt this is you leading me to open the shop and doing all of this. And it's not going well. Now, Gustav is there and he's born and it's all this stuff. And I just sense God telling me, what's in your hand? What can you do? I said, well, I can program. I haven't programmed for a few years because we did different things in the beers. That was more their own systems and everything. But anyway, that's what I felt, and I got open another door. I could have gone back to programming. At the same time, a girl phoned us, a lady phoned us, a friend of ours, and she said, this is company, because now I owe money to my friend, I owe money for backpack shop, that was my shop, and there's this lady, she said, there's a big mining company, they want clothes for their geologist in Kazakhstan, London, Namibia, and Mozambique, can you do it? I said, I can do it. And they said it must be embroidered and it must all of this and this. I said, I can do it. then I got this letter from the company, and they said, it's on the payment terms. You must really get the stuff there, and only later they pay. I said, no, this is not going to work. So I just draw a line through it. I said, 7 days, invoice. If I invoice you 7 days, then you pay. So in the meantime, I bought all the stuff. I just rent money, took money from everywhere, and just buy a lot of gear. And amazingly, they replied and said, it's fine. They'll pay immediately. So in a moment, I made more sales than I think in 6 years' time. So I just come and kaboom, everything done. I pay my friend his money, and it's all cleared, and I can move on. And then I realized, oh, God, you are just, you're incredible. I can't, yeah. So now I'm working as a programmer. Even there, I knew I was out of my league a bit going back there. And soon I went to America just for 3 months. And sitting there, I said, Lord, I can't even remember this stuff. Google has become my best friend. Because every night I must Google and this and this. And I just trust God that the next day they won't ask something that I don't know. That was my life. Driving to work, praying, Lord, please help me to know the answer. And they will ask me stuff, and I said, I'll get back to you tomorrow. And there was a big project for a bank in, actually also in Canada. I remember that night I was really desperate, 11 o'clock at night. I said, Lord, I really need a miracle here. And I started to work through the night. The next morning, I had a whole lot of programming stuff. And my boss said, Jackie, does it work? I said, I don't know, you must check. And he checked something else, it worked. He said, why did you do this? I said, I don't know, just check it. He said, did you think about this? I said, not sure. He said, why did you, I said, don't ask all this why, this everything is this, just check. So everything worked. And there I experienced God as a programmer, just coming through, giving me lines of code that, it just worked. Some of the stuff is running at Woolworths stills. So every time I'm at Woolworths, I just ask them, how's your till? How's the software on the still? Is it working? Because I remember God giving me lines of code that, man, it just changed stuff. It's the whole mystery going on there. So from there, Stellenbosch, Pastor Sias, there was a workshop 5 years later, and he just said, just spend some time with God and hear his voice. That's one of those. I was sitting there on Stellenbosch at the venue next to a car, and I just sensed God telling me, come back to the ministry. I said, Lord, right now that I've faced everything is now, it's lacquer. Man, now I've figured out the stuff. Now I'm doing well. It took me so many years. He said, just come back. So I was crying. And we started praying. And I said, okay, Lord. 3 months later, my heart was ready for God to do, again, whatever he wants to do. So Pastor Rossi contacted me the one day. He said, Jaku, they want us to come join the team at Shofar Tigerberg. I said, well, I'm ready. Just tell me when. He said, no, next month. So I resigned. I started there. We started at Shofar Delft. It's a little bit wilder in Delft. But it was good. I drove in there with my motorbike at night. Some people said to me, I could get out of the area. You must get out of here. It's dangerous. I said, well, God has placed me here. I don't feel afraid. I don't feel terror or fear driving in there with my family for whatever. And it was amazing. It was a whole different experience being there for a year. And I flew out. Well, I had to go to Jordan for missions. And I said at the time, I said to Lee, I think we're going to move to another church that night. And I said, just pray for the leaders of Shofar. I think they're going to move us. So that night I flew out. The next day I get this SMS. She said, they want to send us to Century City. So I said, hallelujah. So God, at least prepare me. So that's how we ended up in Century City. And we were there now for 6 years. And then this journey started to come here. And again, it was God just giving us a word, showing us the way. So I'm excited about God. I'm excited about what He's doing. But I'm very aware that He doesn't have favorites. So you will have your own war stories, your own amazing things, your own way, how God is coming through for you. It was tough for my parents when we moved here. They said, Yaku, you guys are going. Now we must find new people to rent and everything. My dad is really following God. I said, Dad, we really need to trust God. We must pray. You can only hold on to God. There's nothing else. He said, yes, but. I said, we can't say yes, but all the time. He said, yes, but. I said, we can't. It's so difficult. But we really need to hold on to God. There's nothing else. And right now, they don't have someone yet in the house. But for the first time in his life, he experienced someone giving him money. One of his friends. He came to me and said, Yaku, it's so amazing that someone came and blessed us, some of our friends, with money for the next month's rent. And now I went back to him and he said, it's so amazing, someone else came and blessed him with money for another month's rent. So now he's experiencing God in a whole new way. It's just incredible. But the amazing thing, just lastly, when I was just thinking about today, and it's just God's, we can do all of this, but it's God's character. It's who God is. He's a good God. He's faithful. He's just. But He's got us. So I know that sometimes we do wild things. I like to do wild things. But we serve an almighty God. We serve an almighty God. And one of the best things for me is that thing when your child stands on a roof or in a tree and something, and you say, it's okay, you can jump. I'll catch you. And for me, it's something like that, in where I know because of God, we can really spend time with Him, hear His voice, and then step out. It's not always going to work out as we think it's going to work out. But I reckon it will be fine because God is with us. And He's just this almighty God. And remember in the Bible, we know how Peter messed up and how he betrayed Jesus and how he went back to fishing. And Jesus walking there after His resurrection on the beach and He calling them. And when Peter saw it's Jesus, he ran out to Him. That's why Jesus said, throw the net on the other side. They caught all the fish. And Jesus said, come and have breakfast. And they were sitting around the fire. And then there's this amazing thing, because that was quite a white elephant in the room. Peter denied Jesus, and Luke says this amazing thing. When Jesus was there before the crucifixion, He looked around and He saw Peter denying Him, and they locked eyes. And then Jesus just went on. So Peter ran out of there, full of regret. I think it must have been devastated to know that Jesus even looked around. He locked eyes with me in the midst of everything that's going on. And then he was crucified. Maybe he thought that I could have prevented it. I could have done something. So now they're having breakfast. And maybe he thought, obviously Jesus is going to ask me about what happened there. Or He's going to challenge me. Or He's going to do something. But Jesus didn't do it. He just said, Peter, do you love me? He just went straight over that. He said, do you love me? What's going on in your heart? And he said, yes, Lord. And Jesus just asked again and again. And in that, he gave Peter a do-over. He said, and Peter, you can start again. You can come again. You can start again. You can come to me because I love you. Jesus didn't once say to him, man, do you remember? I even told you it's going to happen. And still you did it. Jesus didn't go there. He didn't even went to say all the stuff that we want to say when someone mess up. Because we get angry and we get worked up, and I told you so, and now it happened. Jesus just, he just invited them to breakfast. He just gave them an invitation to come close again. And I realized that that's what Jesus is doing all the time. There's an invitation to share life with him. Fast coming year, it's an invitation from God. So I want to move you guys. It's an invitation that we can come and we can partner with him. This morning, there's an invitation for each one of us to come and to partner with Jesus, to walk with him. And you have your challenges, and I would love to hear your stories, love to pray with you. And I've seen God coming through for people in amazing ways, and I've experienced it. But the best of all is, it's the God we serve. It's this amazing God that we can hold on to. And a few weeks after that breakfast there, Peter was the one standing up at Pentecost and just preaching about Jesus, and thousands of people coming to Jesus. That's amazing. God came and he did something in his heart. So that's why I trust that all of us, that we can journey together, we can really spend time, hear from God, and then we go. Then we do what God has called us to do. And it's exciting times. And I realized that as a programmer, as in business, or you know, that backpack shop, as a pastor, as a father, I've heard God's voice in the same way. I've experienced his faithfulness in the same way. It was not like ministry is there, and business is here, and work is here, and family is here. It was God being part of our life. God coming through, God helping me in whatever area of my life. And that's good. Each one of us, we can hold on to that. So I'm just going to ask the ushers to hand out communion to us. I'm finished. We're just going to have communion together. And we can really reflect on that. And I just want to encourage you this morning, whatever your challenge is, whatever the reason is that you sit at night and you think, Lord, this is what's going on in my life. This is just bring it to God. He wants to hear your story. He wants to hear everything. He wants to hear your heart's desires. He wants to hear those challenges. He wants to know where you messed up. Where you think, no, nothing can save me from here. Nothing can help me. He's just over and above all of that. Because he's made a way for us. And for me, it's not religion. It's life. It's life. And it's an almighty God that we serve, a powerful God. And I really trust for that, yeah, that if you don't have a story yet, if you don't have one of these encounters yet, that you will have your own encounter with the Lord. That you can say, this is God speaking to me. This is the almighty God coming into my life. And he touched me and I know this is God. This is God. And I came here a few months ago, sitting in Mangabeen, just praying. My car broke down here, so I was sitting here. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm praying about Somerset West and must we be here. And I looked at the people and I just sensed God telling me, everyone can be reached. Everyone can be reached. And God wants to touch each person in this place. He wants to touch each person in this whole area. But he wants to use us, everything that we have. And our response can just be one of surrender and obedience. But it's okay. It's okay to do those things because of the God we serve, the Almighty God. It's fine. Because of God, I was able to move away and to come here. Because of God, I could have trusted Him to give us a school, give us a home, open new doors for us. Because of God. When we came to even the children getting into the school, we phoned them. Well, that's an amazing story of itself. But just the last little bit was when Lee phoned and said she's coming with the papers. The lady said, "I'm just got off the phone with the mom, and they can't get in, and they're in tears and this and this." And I said, "We can't go on stuff like that. We can't work with the things and the voices and the bad reports, and we can't do that. We can only hold on to God, a God that's moving us. And that is something I can hold on to. And we can only be obedient to what God has called us to do. And then we step out in faith. And even if it's not what we think it's going to be, God is still in control. He's a good God. He's faithful. And He loves each one of us. I just want to read for us here in 1 Corinthians, just for the, maybe when we take communion this morning, you can just think about the God we serve. Think about an almighty God, but a God that's real. Corinthians 11 verse 23 says, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this, and whenever you drink it, in remembrance of Me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." We proclaim this Lord's resurrection. We'll be proclaiming it until He comes again. Until He comes back. This morning, maybe you can just take the communion, sit there as a family. Take it with someone. Bring your challenge before the Lord. Because God has died for it all. He's died for everything. He died that we can have life, that we can experience life here today. We don't have to experience it one day. We can have life right here. In the midst of all the stuff that's going on, in the midst of our challenges, in the midst of the pain, the suffering. Lord, I just thank You for this morning. Thank You, Lord, that we can sit here, Lord. We can be in this place, Father. We can celebrate You, Lord. We can celebrate You, the Almighty God. Thank You, Father, for Your faithfulness. Thank You, Lord, that You are so an amazing God, that You are the one that brought us together today. You are the one that brought all of us here this morning. You know us. Thank You, Father, this morning. You lock eyes with each one of us. You look at us wherever we are, Lord, whatever our situation. You lock eyes with us and You say, "You are My child. You are Mine. And I've got Your back." And I pray, Lord, that even some that might feel far away from You right now, Lord, that You are close. Thank You, Lord, it's easy to reach out. There's still an invitation this morning to share life with You. There's still an invitation to step out of our comfort zones and just to say, "Lord, I want to follow You, Lord. I want to obey You, Lord." I'm just going to give a moment. You're just going to just respond. Whatever is on your heart right now, just say it to the Lord. Just speak it. And then just where you are, you take the bread, you take the communion. You're just going to, while the band is playing, we're just going to give a moment. You respond from your heart to the Lord. And then when you're ready, you as a family or together, you guys can take the communion. Yes, Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for your death on the cross, Lord. Thank you for your body that was broken for us, Lord. Thank you for your resurrection, Lord. Thank you for your resurrection, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to play church this morning. We can follow you, Lord. You are the Almighty God. Thank you, Lord, we can celebrate you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that invitation to life. For an invitation to share life with you. Thank you, Lord, that you want to come and bring us joy. You want to come and bring joy in the midst of the suffering. You want to come and want to give us eyes of faith to see what you are seeing. Even in one another. Now the sense, the Lord just want to give some of you just new eyes to look at your circumstances. Just new eyes to see what God is seeing. To get His perspective, to get His ideas, to understand what God is busy with. We had to go through a time where I just realized, Lord, you're operating on another level. Sometimes I have to admit, Lord, you just want to change something inside of me. You wanted me to become more like you before anything else. And those moments are sometimes very difficult. But once we can see it, it makes it so much better to know that God is busy with us. He's busy and He's not leaving us to our own devices, our own ideas. Let us stand with me this morning. You know, I just sense there's also some of you've been looking at these walls, and God want to come and He want to break down the wall. But He also want to, by faith, for you to start, just to start to speak to these walls, start to proclaim, to say, I trust that this will move. I trust that this will move out of the way. Sometimes it's going to take time, but God is still the same. For some of us, we've been challenged on what we believe about God. We say He's powerful, yes, but He can't do this for me. But it's not about the stuff, it's about God journeying with us. These people that we've been praying for years, and then one day they just said this and this happened, and they want to follow Jesus. Of the years and years and years. Sometimes it takes time, but other times God comes in a moment and He's doing for you what He fast-tracked everything. I was going to ask the band just to sing that song of God's faithfulness and who God is. And then if you want prayer, I just want to invite you this morning just to step forward. I would love to pray with you. Maybe you feel far from the Lord. I feel, God, Yaku, you're telling us all this stuff, these stories. I would love to pray with you. And don't worry about someone else. At the end of the day, it's just me sitting on my bed in front of the Lord. We're going to sing the song together, but if you want to come and just respond to what God is doing in your life, just come forward. Maybe you've been walking a road with God and you sense there's something new that you want to do. Let us pray with you. Let us stand together. It's people around me that help me to journey. It's friends, it's family. The first thing I did was to phone people and say, guys, we need to pray. This is just in front of us and it's overwhelming. So as we sing, just come.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.